Once again, that's Corky Siegel, who in the coming the next couple of weeks is performing all over town, and he is one of Chicago's great treasures. One of the other great treasures in this town, and I'm going to keep saying it until every single person in Chicago has visited it and says, when they are asked, what's your favorite thing in Chicago, answers the Lurie Garden. It is, I'm not going to say it's an undiscovered gem, but it is a gem that needs to be discovered by everyone here. Laura Ekatsat, I knew I'd follow this up. Ekasetja.
Yeah, you got it.
That's close enough. She's the director of Lurie Garden. Am I right about this? I know that over the last few years, more and more people discover it, but it is still, Laura, really ripe for discovery, yes?
Yes. So you may have heard that Millennium Park, it's now verified, has over 20 million visitors a year.
Yeah.
So we're the number one tourist attraction of the Midwest, and we're in the top 10 of tourist attractions in North America.
Yeah, I know.
All
right, how many of those 20 million will walk the modest number of steps to go inside what I think is one of the most fascinating gardens on this planet? Am I making too much of this?
Well, certainly I would agree with you on that. And I can only conjecture how many people really make their way to the garden, but it's certainly designed in a way that it can always feel peaceful and a relaxing place. Even if the crowds become large in the surrounding areas.
You must know people who visit and hear from them really with some regularity, who may even visit it every day. Are there such people?
Oh, we have a number of regulars, yes. There's a lot of people who commute through the garden on their way to work. We have a gentleman who every day takes the same picture from the same spot. We have birders who come through regularly and keep lists of birds that stop in the garden. So, yeah, there are a number of people we see on a daily basis.
Remind me, because I thought your story was pretty fascinating. Did you start as just a volunteer there? Remind me of your background and how you came to be the director of that amazing place.
Well, I came to the public opening of Millennium Park, and I was amazed that you could interact with all the parts of Millennium Park, especially Lurie Garden. And I'm a fan of the designer of the garden. And so I certainly, you know, just stayed in touch with the staff. And when there was an opening, I moved on it.
Yeah, because your passion is palpable. There's no question about it. One of the things we'll talk about after the break is what I find an amazing number of programs. I missed, when is October 6th? That was like 2 days ago, the Morning Bird and Nature Walk. I missed that, right?
Yeah, and you would have, it was very successful. It was rainy that day, but somehow the rain held off during the walk. And so we did see a number of birds. Birds, you actually tend to see more birds when it's a little bit rainy. And during the migration, of course, it happens to be the fall migration. We're on the Mississippi Flyway, and we have a lot for the birds to eat. So they eat a lot of seeds that a lot of the plants in the garden, we just let the flowers die and become a seed head, right? That's kind of the philosophy of the garden.
Yeah.
So they get that, and then we have a lot of insects that they eat. So we had a great walk that morning. Jeff Walk led it, Director of Science for the Nature Conservancy. So we're in a great spot to partner with people like that for programs.
How are you? Millennium Park is this, as you said, this gathering place for 20 million people every year. How do you go about beyond? I know you don't stand out there and grab a family from Tokyo and drag them over to Lurie Garden and say, like, hey, look at this. But how do you get them? What's the pull? Programming is part of it. But sort of how else do you do that, Laura?
Well, we have a really active Facebook account and Instagram and our website. People can find us on our website. And sometimes they just see that and that piques their curiosity and they come.
Yeah.
And so I think things like that really help out a lot.
What do you hear from people after they visited? I know that you are out there all the time. You have an office, I suppose, right? You got to have an office.
We have a secret office.
Secret office.
But I'm out in the garden every day.
Yes. Yeah, I knew you would.
Including today, just to make sure everything went fine with the marathon. It did. Yeah.
Did you get marathoners walking through?
Yes. Oh, everyone was out practicing for their run, even on Friday. Lots of people start to come into town then for the marathon. And so it's fun to see all these people like from all over the world coming through for this marathon.
Are they the look on their face sometimes like, where am I? I mean, it must be like, I mean, it is kind of in its way a wonderful secret garden, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really fun to see people that we're not expecting to come upon the garden. And they're like, what is, sometimes they say things like, what is this? Or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And I once was weeding in the garden and a little kid came into the garden with his parents. And there's a hedge of arborvitae trees. If you've been to the garden, you'll notice that it's surrounded on two sides by a 14-foot tall hedge of trees. And
make it secret, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of, it's like a visual and sound barrier a bit from the rest of the park. It kind of like, it draws in the rest of the park, I think, visually.
Yeah.
From like a broader landscape perspective. But when you're in there, it feels like a separate space. And I think the hedge helps that a lot. And it's narrow openings to get into the garden. And so this child thought he was walking into Narnia. He thought like he was walking through, you know, the closet into the forest and then out to the garden, because it's so much larger than you think the space would be once you go through it.
Fantastic. Oh, fantastic. And, you know, Ann Lurie, who is one of the most delightfully philanthropic, I've spent some time at the Lurie Hospital, and it almost makes me wish I was an ill child. This is one of the most wonderfully philanthropic people I've ever met. Have you met her?
I have not met Ann Lurie. However, she has come through the garden. She's very not interested in a lot of attention.
She's very self-effacing, which makes her a great philanthropist. She doesn't, even though the name's on it, she's not tooting her own horn.
Oh, yeah. She's really not involved in that way. She's just really happy that someone's here taking care of the garden. And she's come through a few times and interacted with our volunteers who give docent tours. And yeah, she's a wonderful person.
Who is your boss? Who is in charge? Is there?
There's an executive director of Millennium Park Foundation,
okay.
Which used to be Ed Euler's position,
and
it's now Scott Stewart. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Ed's great.
He is great. He is great.
He's still involved with the park.
Good. So you can just, are you basically, Laura, free to? I mean, obviously, there are people you work with, and when you come up with the program that we're going to talk about in a few minutes after a short commercial break, is there some autonomy here? Do you get to really do this on your own? Or, you know, for instance, the Spring Bulbs Workshop, which takes place this coming Saturday, do you just say, hey, I think we should have a Spring Bulbs Workshop?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we do.
That's fabulous. That's great, because it's not burdened with the kind of nonsense bureaucracy of the rest of the city and the state, who would say, well, what do you mean by bulbs, and what do you mean by workshop, and what do you mean by this? I'm sure that's one of the reasons, because since you were on, I think it was about a year ago, or maybe it was earlier this year, maybe it was in the wintertime when I kept talking about the great thing about Lurie Garden is not to think of it as the garden in your backyard. This is a year-round facility. This is a garden that, although it doesn't have flowers in December, something is going on there.
Yes, right now is a good time to see the garden. We actually do have a number of things blooming. So there is
that. Oh, I don't doubt that. Yeah.
And it's moving into fall color, so that's also nice. But you can come in the winter, and it's still interesting. We're not going to cut the garden back until very early spring.
And do you decide what gets planted? You must work with, what would they be called, flower people, horticulturalists and people like that.
Well, the designer.
You're talking to a guy who grew up in the city surrounded by concrete his whole life.
Well, the designer of the garden, Pete Oldolf, who also did the High Line, he's very involved still. And the landscape architect firm, GGN, Gustafson, Guthrie and Nickel, they still help advise with the garden. And so we have good relationships with them.
This is great. It is, ladies and gentlemen, if you have never been there, you owe it to yourself to go there. It is as accessible as anything. You know where the bean is? You know where the bean is? You can find the Lurie Garden. And my suggestion would be to go there and just go to the bean and just start walking southeast, and you'll find it. Are those good directions?
Those are perfect.
Yeah. It's so easy, but it does come on like a surprise. Lori Ekasatya. What kind of name is that?
Indonesian.
Indonesian?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lovely name, Ekasatya. As a director of Lurie Garden, you can get more information at Lurie Garden. That's LURIEGarden.org. We will take a short commercial break, and we will come back and talk about more of the joys of this Chicago treasure. Corky Siegel, everybody, and LurieGarden.org, everybody. Laura Ekasatya is in here. She's the director of Lurie Garden. She is passionate about Lurie Garden. I think her passion is palpable. It's fall now. I don't see the leaves turning, but I'm assuming they're going to start to look like fall one of these days. Yes.
Maybe later this week. Yeah. It looks like it'll cool off a bit. It's a little weird. Yeah.
But you have so many interesting, for you, obviously spring and summer are the big times at Lurie Garden, because spring is spring and summer is summer. But you have so many different wonderful kind. You have what is peace yoga that takes place on Saturdays there? What's that?
Yeah, the Peace School. There's actually a Peace School.
Yeah.
They come and they do a yoga class. It's a really great class, but it's not difficult. It's more of a meditation. So welcome anyone to come. Anyone can do this class.
The other thing, and I'm just saying, you can get all of this information at LurieGarden.org, but I just want you to hear Laura's passion about it, too. You have a book club, and this book sounds fascinating, The Home Place, Memoirs of a Colored Man's Love Affair with Nature. That sounds like, just on the title, that sounds like a fascinating book. What have some been your other book club? See, I think the wonderful thing expanding beyond, like, you know, learn how to plant a bulb or something is really wonderful. Yoga and a book club. Was a book club your idea? I suppose it was, Laura.
Well, the book club was my idea, but we have a program manager named Karen Tyra that helps come up with all these ideas as well. And she's really great. And so this book that we're doing next 2 weeks from now,
yeah,
right, is
October 24th.
Very beautiful, well-written book. I'm so I've really enjoyed it so far. I'm two chapters into it, and so we always want to pick books that we haven't read yet, and so that's our little secret criteria. They have to be about nature.
You guys are great. You're like your own little kingdom over there. That's what I like about it, without being bogged down by the bureaucratic nonsense that seems to afflict every other city organization. You also have a ton of family programs. Little Lurie Scientists is very intriguing to me. City Critters, what's that?
Karen Tyra came up with this idea of graduating Little Lurie Gardeners, which are toddlers that come for 6 weeks, so for once a week for 6 weeks, and they have a program that progresses each week where they learn songs and things like that about the plants in the garden. And then she wanted to find something for them once they got to be a little older, so they could kind of progress to this next class, which is Little Lurie Scientist. And so those are very popular classes. In fact, they fill up really quickly. They're full, in fact.
Do you find that most of the people that come to the classes are city dwellers, or are they coming? I bet a lot are coming from the suburbs.
Yes, we get people from all over. We also, sometimes people come upon our classes, they find us on our website or on our social media accounts, and we'll get people that are from other states.
Wow.
And they'll come because they're in Chicago for some reason. And so I always love to meet people like that.
Well, the other great thing about this is all of these programs are free.
Yes.
Hear that, ladies and gentlemen, F-R-E-E, free. Another one that is, here's a very practical one. Never having had one as a child or as an adult, on December 10th from 1 to 3, family workshop, build a bird feeder. I have to think that it's not all that hard. I've seen them. I don't know how to build one. But that's another kind of thing that I just think would be an amazing kind of family activity.
It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of hammering. That one's a noisy one. But it's a great class, and they get to build a really sturdy bird feeder. It's not just like take a pine cone and put peanut butter on it or something like that, which is also a good bird feeder.
Yeah, sure.
This is, you know, a bigger project. So
now, not to get too personal, Laura, but where you live, do you have a garden in front or in back or on top of the place in which you live?
I have two, actually. But I don't but there's a lot of rules about them. So I'm not involved with them very much when you talk about bureaucracy. So I live in a condo.
In a condo and the people are not taking advantage of your incredible expertise. So the hell with them. You really get a lot of joy out of this job, don't you?
I do. I love this. I love Chicago, and I love working in this garden. It's so much fun. It's such a joy every day to see how things change. Not just through the seasons, but through the years.
Yeah. You are out in that garden every day.
Yes.
Doing what?
Well, I have...
You work, and beyond sort of interacting. See, if I had your job, I would be a pain in the ass because I would be asking every single person, what do you think? How do you like it? What do you think? You must do some of that, right? But you work too, right?
Yeah. I do such a variety of tasks, I suppose. Outside of, obviously, as a director, I do a lot of administrative things and things like that, communicating and so forth. But I also help maintain the garden. And so I have staff that help me with that and volunteers, but someone needs to direct that. We recently won an award from Friends of Downtown for best continued use of a public space. And so we're excited to receive that award this Wednesday. And I think it's because people see us out there all the time.
I love the notion. I know a lot of people who will, on their way to work when the weather's nice, walk through a place like Lincoln Park Zoo, which is open and free to the public, on their way to and sometimes from work because it is a calming kind of environment that removes them from the hustle and bustle. That's got to be, as you said at the start of this half hour, that's true at Lurie Garden, too, that it is so peaceful that it is a way to, you know, it's like a flowering psychiatrist couch or something.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe a garden. It's meant to be that way. It's meant to be the part of Millennium Park and the part of the area that is quiet. So right all around us are all kinds of events and fascinating music and cultural events and things like that.
Well, and, you know, and also, you know, strange urban people, too. I mean, that's what I get on Michigan Avenue. I mean, there's strange people all over this city. That's what one of the things that enriches the city, but it can get to it can be overwhelming. Before I let you go, this special event, Urban Wild, Celebrate Fall with Lurie Garden. It's on the Pritzker stage. What is this?
Yeah, so we're celebrating harvest in the city. So all of the vendors at this event are focusing on things that were grown or somehow produced in the city. We'll have popcorn grown in the city from City Farm. We're going to sell our honey. We've harvested I've lost track of how many pounds. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 or 90 pounds we harvested. So we have that all jarred up, and we'll sell that. We'll have other local beekeepers as well, because if you don't come early, we sell our honey out pretty quickly.
I'll bet.
Goose Island made a really special brew for us. There's some ingredients from the city in that. It's going to be really fun. So I really recommend coming. That's also when we give away our seeds. So I collect a lot of seed in the garden, and in fact, right now there's some more things that are becoming ripe that I need to get out there and collect this week, because I think things are drying out a bit. You want to always collect when the weather's a little dry, and then we package those up and we give those away, because all year long people ask me about that, and they usually don't understand that the seed isn't ripe yet or something like that.
Right.
So I say, just come to our event and we'll have it.
Can you imagine yourself doing anything else in the world, Laura?
Not at this point in my life. No, yeah. But I really enjoy what I do, and every day is something different.
Yeah, amazing. It's a different kind of bird or something flying in. I adore having you on this show, and I adore having you talk about what I think is just this Herbs and Horto, the slogan of the city of Chicago, city and a garden, but this is the garden in the city. There's some nice gardens around, but Lurie Garden is without parallel.
Oh, thank you.
My pleasure. What do you think? You think I would just have you on just to say, it's okay, it's just fine. I think you run a great place. Her name is Laura Ekasetia. She is the director of the Lurie Garden. You can get all sorts of information at luriegarden.org. If you had one of these fall events that you would say not, they're all cool, and you can, ladies and gentlemen, at luriegarden.org, pick and choose on your own. What are you most excited about? Which one are you personally most excited about?
Well, obviously I'm excited about Urban Wild because I've got all these seeds. I'm really excited to connect with all these people for that. But also Andy Pettis, who's the director of horticulture for the Highline, is coming to give a talk in November.
Oh, nice.
On Thursday. So check that out on our website. It requires registration, but it's free.
Yeah.
And I really like to hear, you know, what she experiences in New York. You know, we have the same designer, but we have completely different experiences.
Oh, it's complete. You've been to the Highline.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So you've got narrow, it's beautiful, yeah. But narrow planting, and then we're, a field. So it's really, I'd love to hear her experience.
Laura, you're the best. Thank you. Thank you, too, for coming in. I'll see you soon.
Thanks for having
LurieGarden.org, LurieGarden.org, a short walk from right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Open every day.
Open every day. Never closes.
6 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Oh, it does close. 6 a.m. to 11. No, the zoo closes earlier. I think the zoo does open at 6. These are two, North Side and Downtown, these are two of the great places to remove yourself from the urban jungle in which we live and to find peace, at least for a little while. I will see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.